Hey, how's everyone doing on this Wednesday evening? Where I am, it's 5 p.m. and I am off work. I am excited because in a week exactly, my family and I, so some of my family members and I will be taking a vacation to Guatemala. It is a little bit scary to think about the situation in the country due to the political environment, meaning that there's a lot of protests in Guatemala because of the president. They're trying, you know, the people are sick and tired of what's happening, especially when he decided to technically kick out the UN representative because he is investigating and he is investigating the corruption within the government. So he decided to back down and throw him out. So people were not happy about that because since that person, the UN person has been in there, there has been a lot of resolutions in terms of corruption. So that's happening. Another thing, last week, I think at the beginning of this week or last week, another environmentalist indigenous woman got killed. It's a tragedy because our elders are saying that a lot of, you know, all in the Americas, they're getting murdered, they're getting killed because they are speaking out and because they're fighting against this extraction industries. They're fighting for their rights, fighting for their land, so they get killed. So that's another thing that's happening right now. But because I'm taking my little baby and my sisters are taking their kids, we're doing the Gringo Trail. So if you don't know what that is in Guatemala, it's technically the cities and towns where the gringos go to. And technically, as usual, you will see a lot of, not resorts, but hotels and restaurants and stuff like that. So we're going to keep it safe and just this time around, we're going to do that type of trip because of the kiddos and because it's going to be my partner's first time going to Guatemala. So we want to make it a stress-free vacation. So we're gonna stick to that, the Gringo Trail. So if you've been to Guatemala or are planning to go to Guatemala, we land in the capital, then we move over to Antigua, Panajachel, Coatepeque. We have some family there, so we have to go to Coatepeque, and then we are ending off in Xela, Quetzaltenango, and that's the end of our trip. We're going for 2 weeks. So we're starting to pack for that. Really exciting. And it won't be my first trip to Guatemala. As you know, or if you are just catching up with the podcast, I was born in Guatemala, came here when I was around 10. So been here for a long, long ass time. But when I was 15, I went back for the first time. And of course, as usual, it wasn't a very pleasant, enjoyable trip because I was young. I was still under the influence of my parents, family, and of my family, especially family. So even though the culture, you know, culturally, you think, act, dress very different, I was still pretty, the costumes and the way of life of Guatemaltecos, I had it down to the teeth because I was young. My family here in Canada didn't really change all that much. So then when I went back, it was fine in terms of me questioning why we're doing things the way we are. My family, my dad's side of the family, live in the colder area of Guatemala. So people there are very modest, and I think it's the weather that people are dressed, covering up because of the weather. And I think that has kind of developed into like a cultural thing for women that, you know, you're not really allowed to wear mini skirts or short shorts or show your arms. So show some cleavage. Like that's that was, I don't know about now, but I think it's more liberal now, but that was frowned upon when I was 15 years old. So when I went over there, I was still not allowed to go anywhere on my own. I would have to go with somebody. I wasn't allowed to do much at all. So that trip was kind of, and my dad and my sister went, but my dad was really busy socializing, talking to his friends and family. So what he did is technically took us to his mom's house, to grandma's house, left us there, and then he went off to do his own thing, and we stayed at the house just chilling. I think it was for like a month. So that was a quite long month to do nothing. We went to visit my mom's side of the family, but it wasn't a very long stay. That was my first contact with Guatemala after leaving. Then the second time I went around, I didn't go until I was 24 years old. And I had chosen not to go because I wanted to explore other parts of the world. So I always wanted to go to Cuba, Dominican. So I did those type of trips, all-inclusive type of situations with my sister and with friends, and did that for a long time, you know, for years, traveled every, you know, other places, not Guatemala. It wasn't my interest. Until, as if you've heard my previous recordings, you know, in my mid-20s, that's right, 24, I started to ask a lot of questions, wondered a lot of my history, my family history, and of course, the big question of who am I? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? Those questions came upon me, and I started to, you know, dig a little bit deeper, which I came to the conclusion that for me to figure some stuff out, I needed to go back to my country, to my land, to my people, to my food, my music, my everything. So I took the trip on my own, or no, was it on my own? No, it was with a brother. I took the trip with a brother, and this time around was different because I decided not to go into Guatemala like of course I'm Guatemalteca, but I came in with a different vision, which was to, you know, I haven't been here for so long. I don't know much about the history of the towns, the culture, like yes and no, you know, but I wanted to come with fresh eyes and to learn. So that was the beginning of me going back numerous of times. Then I went back with I went on my own, and then I went with another brother, and now I'm going with a bunch of family. So I've been back a few times, and each time I've always tried to go to learn. And the more I want to know about my ancestry, my roots, my culture, the more I learn. So, and I think that has helped me with my journey of in answering, like, who am I? But in one of those trips, I went to my mom's village, and my mom comes from a very poor family, poor village, you know. So I've always stayed at her village, like, no matter what, for like a week, at least a week. And I gotta say that it doesn't matter, and sometimes the family says, you know, like, wow, you guys are, or you know, you or your siblings are not like other Guatemaltecos that leave and come back, and they come back thinking that their shit don't stink. So they come back wearing brand name clothes and glasses and showing off and this and that. My family was raised differently. Most of us don't care about that stuff, material stuff. So I personally, when I go back, I try to blend in. Like I take the stuff that I'm gonna give away. I don't wanna bring anything back because I know that I have family, I have cousins, young cousins that appreciate some fashion from North America. And, you know, so I take a lot of the stuff that, you know, it's, you know, that I know that I won't miss in my closet. I take it and especially when it comes to my glasses, like, you know, I am a young person, professional, so I, you know, tend to buy glasses that are durable, that are fashionable. One of my cousins, actually, a young girl, she wears glasses like myself, and we very much look alike. And I give her all of my glasses. Like, I know that when, what do you call it? When I am, when I get new glasses, I know that she'll get a good other, you know, and the glasses I wear last me for at least 5 years, you know, because they're durable. And then she will wear them for another like 5 years. So that's like a good 10 years of like good glasses. So, you know, I think about things like that. Anyways, in one of my visits, I went to my mom's village and I realized the poverty that people live on. And the first few times that I went back to Guatemala, I was very like in shock of like the way people live, and saddened by the situations that you see. You know, I've always thought that I need to come back. I need to help. I need to do something for my people. And another thing to keep in mind too is that although a lot of these folks are living in below poverty line, I would go in there feeling really sorry for them and like thinking like poor them. But then when I realized, when I saw around and saw that the love that they have for each other, for their animals, for nature, for their food, I was like, wait a minute, who's the poor person here? You know, when my life in Canada is full of abundance to the point that you don't even give a shit about how your food is made, because you go into a superstore and you have 1,000 choices of lettuce and you can choose if it's organic or non-organic, or how your meat is grown. Is it farm? Is it, you know, we have choices that sometimes we take, we take for granted, and we stop caring about things like basic needs, because we have them. We have an abundance of it. So I started to think like, wait, who's the poor person here? They have smiles, they have each other, they have warmth, they have family, they have everything. You know, they might not have money, but they have a shelter, most of them, and they have the food and animals that they grow themselves. And, you know, so I started to really think about the different ways of life, and that, you know, there's pros and cons to each, and that they're not poor, you know, when you look at it that way. But in the trip, I wanted to do more. So when I came back, my parents had actually been helping this community, this village, for a number of years, meaning that my mom would sell tamales, pupusas, anything she could for like Christmas or other festivals. And then she would send money to the folks in her village for gifts, for little candy, for a dinner for the moms. She's always been helpful. And my mom is one of the biggest inspirations ever, because she always cared and she always like wants to help. She did that for years with my dad. And so then I thought like, wow, mom and dad have something special here. So why am I not uniting with them to even make this bigger? So thanks to social media, one day I posted on Facebook what they were doing, because they did this without social media. They didn't even tell their friend, like the people that were buying the food. They would just be like, pupusa sale, call their friends and, you know, tell them that they're selling food. And that was that, right? They didn't even tell them that this is not even for us. This is not for us to keep. This is for the children in my village. So I got the word out on a post like, hey, selling pupusas, fans will be going to buy gifts for kids in Guatemala. And the response I got was like amazing. You know, we raised a lot of funds. We managed to give about 200 kids gifts that year. So then I thought, why not keep this momentum? Because I saw how beneficial it was for my family, my siblings, to get together and to do something good. So we kept the momentum going, and we actually started to do more fundraising and send more money to support more. It got to the point that we decided to create a society, a nonprofit organization, and that's what we do now. It's called Communities at Play Society. If you want to check it out, it's communitiesatplay.com. And with that, we support a girls' basketball team because in the village, you know, back in a few years back, there was no youth team. Well, there was a soccer team, of course, there's a soccer team, but young girl team, young adults, you know, women that played sports was frowned upon. So they didn't, they weren't supportive of that idea of girls playing basketball or sports in, you know, because they're supposed to be in the kitchen cooking and helping their families. So what we started to do is we started to support the girls, sending them money for uniforms, for balls, for their tournaments, for transportation. That way they could get, you know, there and back to their games without on the bus instead of walking. That saves them time to get home and still help their parents, help their family, but play the sport. So we've been doing that for years now. But of course, through Social Rec, which is what we do, you know, the community started to open up and to trust and to say like, hey, like, actually, we need, you know, we're the school in the community. It's not big enough. You know, some kids have classes in the corridors, so in the hallways or outside, because there's no room for them in the classes. They don't have a kitchen. They don't have a, you know, a program for a food program. So a lot of these kids can't even afford to go to school. Like, if you go there, you'd be like amazed that, you know, it's like a Tuesday morning and you see all these little kids working the fields and you're like, why are they not in school? And the answer is because their families don't have the funds to put them in school. So, and if the families have the funds to put them in school, the resources at the schools are very low. There's zero. So it's a bad situation, especially when you see it from our point of view. So then we're trying to, you know, make our you know, input bigger and to help support the school, build the playground, build the hall. Like, these are dreams that are gonna come into fruition and it's gonna happen. It's gonna take some time, some resources and support, but we're gonna get it done. So that's where that's at. So this trip, I'm excited to go and meet the girls and hopefully get some videos of them talking about the sport, talking about themselves, introduce them to our website and see what happens. So if you guys wanna, you know, check it out, please do so. If you wanna help, support, please also do so. Communities at play at gmail.com, our email. So yeah, in a week I'll be in Guatemala, so I think I'll probably take a little break. We're going for 2 weeks, but I'm off for three. So I'll take a little break from talking and hopefully have some really interesting, cool stories when I come back of the Gringo Trails. But hey, I want to put it out there to you. Like, have you gone back to your birth country or your parents' birth countries? What did you see that shocked you? How was your first interaction? And of course, do you want to help? Because that's, you know, a few years back, I actually met these people. They're a non-profit organization. They have a coffee shop and they have like a kitchen where they teach youth from Guatemala how to cook and art. And the reason why they exist is because one of the founders actually was undocumented in the USA and he got deported to Guatemala. The thing was is that when he went to the US undocumented, he was actually really young and he technically spent a lot of years in the US working, and when he got deported he went back to Guatemala and he found it culturally shocking. Like, he was so used to the culture in North America that he found it hard to adjust again and to learn the cultural, you know, aspects and the language and everything again. And he said, you know, I have the skills. He used to work at a restaurant in the USA. So he and other folks, that the same situation happened to them. This young person named Gabby, she was also deported as a very young person, and she actually grew up in the U.S. So she comes back and says, like, I feel like this is not even my community. Like, I'm so foreign in my own country. So they went ahead and opened up a nonprofit organization where they support Guatemaltecos, Guatemalan youth, young people to like gain skills. But what they also do is they support deportees, so young people that get deported to Guatemala, and they tap into the skills that they have now, the second language of course, and kind of help them incorporate themselves back into the Guatemalan culture, which is like, for us, it's kind of like the opposite here, because I work with, and in the past, I've worked with a lot of, you know, young people to try to help them to incorporate them into the North American culture. And then over there, they're doing it the other way around, which is interesting. Anyway, so then when I met up with them, you know, they have a really cool project. They're actually located in Quetzaltenango. And I remember, you know, the sentiment there was that a lot of people that leave Guatemala or even Latin America or anywhere come to these first world countries like Canada, the US, and more, and they forget about their own people. They forget about where they come from. And they might keep the music. I mean, like, who doesn't want to, you know, remember cumbia, salsa, merengue, you know, reggaeton? Like, you'll keep that. You'll keep your tamales. You'll keep your pupusas. You'll keep everything. But what about the people? What about the issues? We tend to not think about that and to forget about that. So, you know, someone had said, and I think, yeah, someone had said there when I met them, was that, you know, the people that leave, they don't come back. They forget about the situation in Guatemala. They forget about the people. And it's very rare that you see folks remembering and contributing to the progress of the country, whether that's activism or arts or anything. They don't. So, you know, like, the brave ones, and they kind of said something like, they're like cowards. And I thought, man, that's deep. Because I'm one of those people that have left and have gotten a better life and live a life of kings and queens, really, when you look at it. Of course, with barriers and struggles, but who doesn't have it? But other than that, I'll take what serves me and serves my ego. Like I said, the music, the food. But I won't take anything else. I didn't want to be like that. So having this organization, being involved, makes me be part of a solution, even though, of course, I don't consider myself like a saint or like, look what I'm doing. But I'm just trying to, you know, create some thoughts about the consciousness of what are you doing for your country, for, and not even country, because I'm not a what do you call those people that are all about the flag and about like nationalists, like Guatemala pride. I don't even own any Guatemalan flags. I will never put a Guatemalan flag anywhere, like in my car or something like that, because I feel like it's not even like the Guatemalan flag and the anthem and all of that. Like, it doesn't even belong to my people. Like, you know, that's built, that's constructed in the backs of the indigenous people. So they're not represented there. They're not part of that. So why should I rep that? You know, because again, like Canada, this is the country, and, you know, like Canada was built in the backs of indigenous people in the land. So why should I rep that? I don't feel comfortable and I don't like it. So it's not about that. It's more about like, what am I doing that's going to change someone's life in a positive way? And it might not be grand things like I'm going to rebuild or build a school, even though that's what we're trying to do. But it's one village and it's one community. And that's the big thing. That's the thing that is important, is the little grains that you could be doing. And even if you don't have the resources to start a nonprofit, because like, it takes a lot of, like, it's not hard, but you do have to have some kind of knowledge, I guess, and resources and support, and many people don't have it. But why not incorporate yourself into a society or a nonprofit that already exists? And I'm not talking about the big corporations, like, you know, like the Red Cross or the Blue Cross, whatever, like ADRA, or, you know, like the World Child, like those are big organizations, and we know where those funds go, and a lot of the times don't go to the people. I'm talking about the grassroots organizations that we could be tapping into and that we could be supporting. So that's my two cents about that, and the feeling I have, the feelings I have around what are you doing for your territories, for your people, for your land, for your country, whether that's in North America or in Latin America or anywhere else in the world. Anyways, I guess that's it. I feel very passionate about this. Anyways, I hope that you guys have a good rest of the week. As I said, I will be soaking in the sun in Guatemala, meeting some of these community members and volunteers that have supported us throughout the years. And I mean, we raise the funds, but they do the work. So I am going to be so excited to meet them and to hopefully maybe interview some of them, like, you never know. Anyway, I hope that you guys have a great day and that we get to hang out soon. Anyways, bye-bye.